The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 12th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany, the home of Lazarus, whom Jesus had raised from the dead. There they gave a dinner for Jesus. Martha served, and Lazarus was one of those at the table with Jesus. Mary took a pound of costly perfume made of pure nard, anointed Jesus' feet, and wiped them with her hair. The house was filled with the fragrance of perfume. But Judas Iscariot, one of Jesus' disciples, the one who was about to betray him, said, "Why was this perfume not sold for 300 denarii and the money given to the poor?" Judas said this not because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief. He kept the common purse and used to steal what was put into it. Jesus said to Judas, "Leave her alone. She bought it so that she might keep it for the day of my burial. You will always have the poor with you, but you do not always have me." The Gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please be seated. Grace and peace be unto you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I want to try something different this morning. You probably think that most Sunday mornings, but a little test. I want to see if this will work. I want you to pick in your head a number between 1 and 9. Okay, hopefully you have it. Keep it to yourself. Then take that number and multiply it by 9. So if you pick 3, it'd be 27, etc. So take your number you picked. Multiply it by 9. No one's counting their fingers, that's a good sign. Alright. Now take your new number you have in your head, the sum total of your number times 9, so say you had 27, and add those two numbers together. So 27 would equal 9. So take your two numbers, add them together. Okay. Now, subtract 5. Okay, you should have a number in your head now. Now, correspond your number to a letter from the alphabet. So A would be 1, B would be 2, 3 would be C, 4 would be D, 5 would be E, etc., etc. So correlate your number to a letter. Okay, hopefully everyone here has a letter in their head. If you don't, we'll just pretend you do. No one will know the truth. Now take your letter. I know this is complicated, but this will be amazing. Take your letter and think of a country that starts with that letter. So if your letter was C, it'd be Canada. If it was B, you might think of Belgium. So if it's H, you might think of Holland. So take your letter and think of a country in the world that correlates with that letter. We have math, we have geography. Now, take the second letter in that country. So if it was Canada, it'd be A, and correlate that to an animal. So if it was A, I'd think of ape. So whatever country you have, take the second letter and think of an animal. Okay, now think of what color that animal is. Now raise your hand if you're thinking of a gray elephant in Denmark. Or maybe the Dominican Republic, if you've been holidaying much. I knew the answer before I even began that test. The sum of all products times 9 will equal 9. Minus 5 will always equal 4. 4 corresponds with D. Number one country most people will pick starts with D is Denmark, or American Republic. E, naturally people think of elephants, and gray is their color. But even though I knew the answer, I didn't know how you were going to get there. I didn't know if your first number you chose would be 3, or 8, or 7, or 6. And it's similar with God. With God, I always know the answer. Thanks to the Holy Scriptures, thanks to the love of God incarnate in Jesus Christ, I always know the answer. And those answers are grace, our love, our reconciliation, our peace, of works of loving kindness, forgiveness. But I don't always know how God is getting there. One of my jobs as a pastor, one of your jobs as a Christian, is to be a God watcher. To look into the world and see what places God is working. Where is God bringing about peace? Where is God bringing about reconciliation? Where is God forgiving people? Where is the love of God shining through? Where is God working to make a new creation? Whether it's in this church, in this community, in your relationships with family and friends, God is always at work. And we always know the answers. They center around peace, love, forgiveness, reconciliation, the things of God, the things that Christ embodied on this earth, the things that God talks about through the prophets of the Old Testament, the things that St. Paul encourages us to reflect and live out in our lives are the answers of God. But we don't always know how God is getting there. We don't always know what plan God has in place to bring these things about. And sometimes, even when God seems to talk to us in very clear language, we can still get it wrong. I remind of the story of a hobo who was traveling the countryside, and he knocked at the door of a large mansion. Knock, knock, knock. And the owner, a rich man, answered his door. And the hobo said, "Sir, I am famished. I have not had a meal to eat in days." And the rich man looked at him, looked him in the eyes, and said, "You know, I didn't get rich and successful by giving things away for free. So I'll tell you what. Behind my house, you will find a bucket of paint and a new paintbrush. If you paint my porch, I will prepare you a fine meal." So the hobo scratched his head a bit and said, "That sounds fair." So he toddled off to the backyard and began about his painting. About an hour later, the hobo knocked on the door again. Knock, knock, knock. The rich man answered the door. Hobo said, "I'm finished painting." Rich man said, "Well, that was pretty quick. It was a pretty big porch. But come on in." The rich man had his servants prepare a meal. He sat down with the hobo. And the hobo looks up from his plate of food and says, "Sir, I don't mean to question your knowledge about cars, but I didn't see a porch back there, but I did find a BMW. Okay, that one might not make the 11 a.m. service. The truth of the matter is sometimes even when God speaks to us powerfully through our events in our own lives, powerfully through a word coming from others, powerfully through the Holy Scriptures, sometimes we still won't get the right message. And that's because we're in bondage to sin. It should come as no surprise that we don't always live up to the glory that God has intended for us. And today in our Gospel reading, we see something similar happening. The time of Jesus' trial, the time of Jesus' death, the time of Christ's resurrection is soon approaching. And once again, the followers of Christ don't seem to get it, except for one woman named Mary. And to understand this story, you have to go back a bit in the Gospel of John. And some things have been taking place. Christ has been traveling the countryside. He's been preaching a powerful word of love, of forgiveness, of repentance, of reconciliation. He's been healing people. He's been feeding thousands of people. And the religious leaders, the Pharisees, the scribes, the elders, the chief priests, are starting to take notice of Christ. People are following Jesus. People are talking about Jesus. People are flocking to Jesus when he enters a new area of the countryside. And this doesn't go unnoticed. But now Christ has done it. For about a week ago,
Christ raised someone from the dead. And that someone was Lazarus, whose house we now find Christ at. And to the chief priests, the scribes, the religious authorities, this is it. And in fact, we're told they convene a meeting. And they're worried because people are following Jesus. People are responding to Jesus, and now Christ has raised someone from the dead, and this can't happen. Because if people keep following Jesus, if he keeps growing in popularity, the Romans are going to pay attention to him. And when the Romans hear what Christ is preaching, when the Romans start to worry that this wandering prophet has a huge following of people, who are the Romans going to come to? The chief leaders, the religious authorities, and the scribes. And they're going to demand answers. They're going to demand that this situation be fixed. So the religious leaders hatch a plan that this Jesus must be dealt with. And we'll see in 1 week's time what that plan means. And it ends with a cross. Now, one leader, one Jewish figure of authority stands up and he says, this is not right. And Caiaphas, again, a person we'll be hearing more about in the future, silences him. And he says, in very prophetic words, it is better for one man to die than for a whole nation to perish. And this is where we find Christ. Word gotten to Jesus that he's in trouble, that people are looking for him, that bad things are going to happen. So Jesus is keeping a low profile throughout the Gospel of John throughout this period. But now something has happened. Passover. And all Jews are expected to travel to Jerusalem to go to the temple for the great Passover feast and celebration. And this is where we find Christ today in Bethany. And Bethany is a small bedroom community about 2 or 3 miles outside of Jerusalem. Because Jerusalem can't hold everyone that's come for the celebration. Think about it. The whole countryside of Jews has come to Jerusalem. So Christ is staying in Bethany. And who is he staying with? Mary, Martha, and their brother Lazarus, who 1 week earlier he had raised from the dead. And they have a meal. And again, in a scene that we've seen before in the Bible, Martha's in the kitchen working, and Mary's at the feet of Jesus. Mary brings out a nard, which is like a scented ball of fat, what they used for perfume in that time. And she prepares it, and she washes Jesus' feet, she anoints Christ, and she uses her hair to wipe his feet afterwards. And you can imagine what feet were like 2,000 years ago. These were feet that lived in sandals, that traveled through the desert, through rocky, through sandy soil, that traveled the same roads as animals. I think you know what animals leave behind on the road. We see much of that melting outside right now. These are the feet of Christ. And these are the feet that Mary washed, that Mary anointed with a year's worth of perfume, we're told. And Judas is watching this. And Judas is someone who has traveled with Christ throughout the course of his ministry, who has heard the teaching, who has seen the miracles, who knows something about the things of God. But Judas doesn't get it. Kind of like us sometimes. He takes offense at this. He sees this as being wasteful. That perfume was worth 300 denarii. That's a year's wages. We could have sold that, and we could have helped to feed the poor, help those in need, work to do the service that you called us to, Christ. Now John gives us some insight and says, well, Judas really didn't care about the poor. He was a thief. He held the common purse. But regardless of that background, Judas's point still seems valid. Consider Christ's Sermon on the Mount. Blessed are the poor. Blessed are the peacemaker. Blessed are those who hungry. Blessed are those who weep. Blessed are those who are scorned and ridiculed and defamed for my name's sake. It would seem that Judas wants to care for these people. But Judas has missed the big picture. And Mary seems to get it. Mary recognizes that what will come in 1 week's time. How much Mary knows, we don't know. Whether Mary knows that Jesus will be arrested, that Jesus will be beaten, that Jesus will be put on trial, that Jesus will be ridiculed, that Jesus will be hung on the cross like a common criminal, we don't know if Mary knows that. But Mary seems to know that the end is near, that something's about to take place. And Mary was saving this perfume, this extravagant gift for Jesus' death. But she recognizes, why save it for the death when I have a living Lord right here with me right now? And she uses it. She anoints Jesus. She washes his feet. She brings him some joy. And for us as Christians, our calling is similar to that of Mary, to that of Andrew, Simon, Peter, John, Judas, all those who have walked and traveled with Christ to Bethany that day. For now, during this period of Lent, in fact, during our whole Christian lives, we travel with Christ. And soon we too will end at the cross. And along with Christ, we too will be crucified. Maybe not our physical bodies, but the things that we love, we hold dear, our pride, our accomplishments, the things we esteem, our vanity, will be crucified along with Jesus. For we will see those are not the things of God. But we find the things of God in an outpouring of love, in extravagance, in grace, in mercy. And as we come together, we're asked to look into our lives and see where we can pour out our love, our mercy, and our grace into the lives of others. Who can we be Mary to? Who can we anoint? Who can we bless? Who can we bring pleasure to? That's our calling. We've been given a great gift in our Savior Jesus Christ. As Luther said, God has done all the work. Now what's left for us is to do the loving. Amen.